What's really fun is when Nick and I start disagreeing. I hope we do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we will.
That'll be great. I've never had a fight on the show yet. Never had a fight on the show yet.
So people aren't listening to this now.
No, not now.
Just another room.
And we're live in 3, mm-hmm. 2.
Online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. It's the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of the show, we'll give you something that you can take away that'll help improve your company's bottom line. You're listening to episode number 25. I am Lon Keller, your host for this afternoon. And joining us around the table is our online art director, Mr. Nick Green.
Hey, Lon.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Welcome back. You're becoming one of our regulars now.
What can I say?
This is cool. We also have a couple newbies on the show today. We're going to start with Renee Cook. How you doing, Renee?
I'm good.
What you been up to?
Well, placing a lot of media.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what you do here at Sundog?
That's
our,
what I
one
do.
Of our chief media buyers. Also with us is Bobby Ann Fromke. How you doing, Bobby?
Good, Lon.
Bobby, what do you do for us here at Sundog?
E-marketing analyst.
Very nice. Very nice. On our last show, we covered some of the basics of rich media. So before we move on and talk about how clients can benefit and track results of rich media ads online, Renee, I'd like to turn to you. And could you just give us a quick reminder and talk about some of the basic differences between an online static ad and some of the functionality and features that rich media has to offer?
Sure. With rich media, it allows you to do a lot more than just the standard online display ads. You have a lot more flexibility. A lot of the ads, they can expand if you're doing like an expanding leaderboard ad or an expanding boombox ad, or else there's a lot of different opportunities like the peelaways, the page takeovers, the interstitials, the floating ads. There's just a lot more that you can do with the rich media ads as opposed to just running your static banner ads or your standard flash display ads online.
Nick, what does it take to determine which one of those best fits a client's needs?
I think a lot of time it comes down to the complexity of the content. If we want to actually give them a full user experience right there on page, a lot of times we're going to go to the rich media route so that we can add video, we can add any sort of RSS feed, anything else like that to keep it a little bit more current and just a little bit more information there to give a more of a full user experience for the most part.
Renee, what have you seen as far as results? Rich media overall on the web is still, I wouldn't call it in its infancy anymore. What results have you seen that have benefited clients over the last few years?
A lot of clients will use the rich media in addition to their standard display ads online. They just kind of complement each other. And the rich media ads, they obviously, there's more cost involved to execute them in as far as the placements and stuff. But typically with the rich media ads, you see a much higher click-through rate on those ads than you do with regular display ads. And the user has complete control over the experience of the ad, because if it's a page takedown or a peel away, they have to mouse over it in order for that to come across the ad. Or like with the expandable leaderboards ads, they have to mouse over them in order to see how it expands down. So the user has complete control over that. But typically, yes, you'll always see a higher click-through rate.
Bobby, who have you seen that's using rich media online more and more? What type of industries are seeing the benefit from this stuff?
We see it with our manufacturing clients, all the way from feature benefit type information to finance offers. But you're seeing it with colleges, you're seeing it with universities, you know, promoting products overall. It's just becoming more and more than I think even we saw it a year ago.
I think it comes down to the comfortability that different verticals have felt with the web. A lot of times it just kind of goes with the interest and the willingness to put more of your budget on the web, as these more complex and more costly upfront dollar values, the budget that you have to pay in order to create the ads, to place the ads, that initial investment, has always or relatively reliably been able to come back with a positive ROI compared to static ads, banner ads, both in research and in practice.
And Renee talked about the higher click-throughs that we see, and that's just another opportunity with these ads is to see what are the click-throughs and what is the response and what is the ROI that the customer is getting, and being able to measure that all the way through to the initial conversion step that they're taking. Would you say too, Renee, that clients aren't so much, you know, in the times that we're in right now, they're not getting a larger marketing budget, but they're just having to reallocate budget to online versus print rather than getting more money for online?
Yep, I think with the smaller budgets and that people have and with the economy the way it is, they're just looking at what's the best use of their dollars, and the more that we can recommend to them and show them positive ROI, you know, is always going to help in shifting some of those dollars across from traditional to online.
Obviously, ROI, like you mentioned, is a very important topic to any chief marketing officer nowadays. Nick, what have you seen as far as advancements in measuring online results?
It's one of the first things that came out with Rich Media was that ability to track a whole bunch of different user behaviors, how long they've been watching a video, how many different times they clicked in the ad, how long were they actually focusing on your ad. All those things started coming through, but we noticed pretty quickly that things like the web spiders that go and scan sites and stuff like that could oftentimes set off a lot of those things and skew your numbers entirely. So I'd say right now the big push is to make sure that those numbers are accurate, to make sure that those things are getting set off when an actual user is there, and to make sure that you're only measuring it to happen once for each individual time they're out there. So all the different the evolution of this is just really accuracy with the different types of measurement.
Who should start using Rich Media that isn't? I mean, is there a particular vertical that comes to mind that probably would benefit?
I'd say small to mid-sized businesses, really. I mean, one of the stats I ran across when I was doing research for White Paper here at Sundog was that about 8% of the web right now is using Rich Media as far as the different placements out there. But when you go to the Fortune 500s and just segment that group, they're up by 45% already. So the amount of money that's being output there and the amount of investment that's going into that advertisement is finally kind of catching up to what they're putting out there already for TV, radio, and that kind of stuff. But you really only see that knowledge in the top 500 companies.
I agree with what Nick is saying. I think, you know, with the bigger national clients, you see that for them it's a matter of shifting more dollars over to online. And for a lot of the smaller local or regional businesses, it's just a matter of actually getting them to try online, you know, even with just the traditional online display ads, and then eventually move them into doing more of the Rich Media ads. It's just, I would say it's more the small local businesses and regional businesses that have yet to even make the jump over to online, but in a significant way.
Can you, Renee or Nick, or both of you, can you tell us what are the differences between online display and online Rich Media? What are the advantages, cost differences, things like that?
As far as the costs go, the cost per thousand for placing a Rich Media buy is quite a bit higher than the cost per thousand for just placing your regular display banner ads. But to coincide with that, your click-through rate is going to be much higher.
Well, piggybacking off of that, there's a lot of times it's definitely spent up front in the development phase of that Rich Media as well. So that ends up also being a little bit more expensive with that initial outlay towards development costs. But again, as she was saying, the CTR, the click-through rate, and the ROI definitely prove themselves. And on top of that, there's a more immersive user experience that you see. Even though you're still getting more people clicking through, you're also getting more people who are just sitting there and watching the video or interacting with your brand. Just the brand favorability factor of that, I think, definitely shows itself in Rich Media more often than it does in display ads.
You also have a higher ad serving fee if you're using an ad server to serve out your creative. When you use Rich Media, the ad serving fee is much higher than it would be just to serve up a regular flash ad or static image.
There's a great, and I think Nick talked on it, but there's a great element of brand awareness, like you spoke about, that even when they're not clicking through for the times that we're not measuring that, just impressions gained from the audience, I think, is great. With Rich Media and online display ads, I think another benefit when it comes to cost, with both of those two types of mediums, are if there's changes that need to happen, it's still an efficient way to make changes. We talked earlier about finance offers and customers and clients using finance offers, and when those are changing, there's an easy way to do that and deploy that than we probably wouldn't see without having online marketing in general.
Renee, you mentioned, you know, there's more costs involved from the server side on when you're talking, you know, rich media versus a banner ad. Is that just coming down to the bandwidth that they need to serve that up?
I think there's a lot more of support that goes into it. There's also just a lot more complications on their side where you can just plunk in, whether it be a GIF or a JPEG or a Flash file. These generally require specific environments to live in so that they can expand over top of the page, so that they can peel back the corner. Just the development level there, they also understand that the development level as well as the consumer impression, so the value it is to us, are both quite a bit higher. So on both of those ends, I think we're probably getting pinged.
When you take a traditional media placement, it's you look at it almost as though it's flashing pictures. Mm-hmm. Where the rich media type, you start to get the user experience where they can interact with the ads, like Nick's talked about earlier, and video embedded in there. And I think that you touched on it, Lon, with the bandwidth just in general to be able to deliver that.
We've all seen websites that have nothing but blinking text, little smiley faces, you know, animated GIFs. You know, some of the most ugly things you can imagine to ever put on a website. How do you prevent an ad becoming intrusive?
I think a lot, you know, when you're running the rich media ads, a lot of the publishers ask to see your creative ahead of, you know, you can't just run it through your ad server and serve it up and all of a sudden right there it is on their site. They ask to see it all ahead of time and they approve whether or not they want that to run on their site or not before it actually goes live. So if you're coming up with a concept or a creative idea, a lot of times we'll run it past the publishers and make sure that they're okay with it before we go through with completing the ad and then find out later that they're not going to accept it and that we won't be able to run it on their site.
Yeah, I think that customer annoyance and the wishes of a real advertiser and those of us who can concept these things are kind of going at odds pretty hardcore, and that's sort of at the middle of the debate. You don't want advertisements when you watch a television show, and you also don't want banner ads when you're really doing content-based internet searches. So I think we want to grab your attention. We want to make sure that you're not looking at the content for at least a brief moment and that you're looking at the advertisement that we paid for, whereas oftentimes they want to make sure that we don't intrude in that experience. So when you get to rich media and you get all these new options as to how intrusive you can be, that's when a lot of those standards came out from a lot of the online authorities, the IAB and the OPA, kind of talking about 15 seconds being the longest that you can intrude over top content, animation links, close buttons, those kind of things being enforced.
And I think you also want, you know, when you're developing the creative, you don't want to be too intrusive, but you want it to be enough so that it grabs attention and stimulates the viewer to interact with the ad that you've put out there.
Well, it's quite common on cable TV, USA Network, TNT, whatever. You're watching a show, you'll see the same ad over and over again. You know, half a dozen times is not uncommon.
Oh yeah,
for an hour-long show. What are some of the tricks that can be done to, let's say, limit the exposure of a rich media ads, you know, so it's just not always in the face of an end user every time they go to this page? You know, maybe you want to give them a little break from it.
A lot of the publishers, I would say the majority of them, and I believe it's an IAB standard too, the Internet Advertising Bureau, has standards for rich media ads and creative, but the publishers will enforce a frequency cap, and so they'll only allow the user to see your ad once every 10 hours, once every 12 hours. There's different steps that they can set that at, different intervals that they can have you set your frequency cap at so that it doesn't become so intrusive, and so that if you're coming back to a site three times in one day, you know, you're only going to see that page take over one time or that peel away once in a 24-hour period or once in a 10-hour period. It really depends on the publisher, what they've set for their guidelines.
Give me an example of a certain time when rich media is definitely not the right course of action for a client.
I think certain clients definitely have that age demo issue where just the average user coming to that website is going to be coming off of, you know, the MSN homepage. They're not going to be too familiar with the web. They're typing the, you know, hard coding http://www.domain.com directly into the Google search toolbar. That demographic, probably not the right one to target with rich media, where there's going to be that additional complexity. There's a chance you might confuse the consumer. And also from a website standpoint, they're going to be the least likely to try and power through any sort of experience where they feel like they're trapped or anything like that, which you get with interstitial ads, when you get floating ads, which sometimes you can get with expanding ads. So whenever you're looking at that older demographic, people who are less likely to necessarily know their way around the internet or be interested in trying to fight their way through to find that content, most of the time we try and pull back the amount of sparkle we throw into an ad at that point.
Bobby, you have a lot of direct one-on-one with customers. Can you give me an example, you know, maybe not of a specific customer, but someone that you've helped guide into the rich media world that maybe hasn't done that in the past, whether they come from, you know, a static banner ad or even as far back as, you know, as print? What are some of the reactions, surprises that they have gotten when they see how well online rich media worked for them?
We have a manufacturing client who had always just ran their traditional online ads, and this past year, for the first time, executed on a rich media ad. They had a new product that was being launched, and we really wanted to be able to show the feature benefit information, the what's in it for me, if the customer was to look into this product some more. And so we launched a rich media ad that incorporated video into that, also messaging of what was new about it, what the feature was of it, and then of course your conversion step. They were surprised at the results. In this case, when they ran the rich media ad, the conversion rate was over 100%. And when we talk about 100%, that means that they took more than one of the users could have taken more than one path, and so they could have visited a dealer and they could have requested a brochure. But overall, the response was just great, and greater even than the traditional online ads that we did with the same focus on that message. And I think, you know, like Nick's talked about, it gave them more of a user experience. They were able to interact with the ad.
I would say that kind of going along with that is the proper message to go with rich media in that format. Some research that was done by DoubleClick suggested that it didn't make a whole lot of sense necessarily to do full out rich media if you're really just trying to leave a customer with messaging. If you're just trying to tell them, you know, remind them of your tagline and whatever hospitality sort of feelings that's supposed to inspire, or whether it's finance messaging, anything like that. But if you're really just trying to get that message across, something as simple as just a static ad that just sits there as part of the page has actually proven to be much better than the rich media side of things. On the other side of stuff, brand favorability, the click-through rates, the driving a consumer interest to purchase, all those things are just off the charts when you come to rich media, and particularly rich media with video. So those type of things, and what you're really trying to push with your brand, I think, is a big element as far as how we decide exactly what format we want to push as an agency.
An example, I think we've talked about, we've just done the traditional online, is on blog sites where they've just needed to see it. And we've watched the trending and we've watched the conversation on blog sites where a launch of a new product or a launch of a message, and shortly after we see the conversation happening about that, of the users actually talking about it. And that was just a simple online ad, no rich media involved in that, but it got the message going, it got the people talking.
We've talked about this on other shows and other topics where it's becoming an expectation that you need to have some sort of video, whether it's in an ad or just as part of whatever content you're trying to convey. I mean, people are expecting it to be there. No one will ever go to, you know, Honda.com and not expect to see a video of the car going down the road.
I think that kind of goes back to the revolution that we talked about in the media, where all of a sudden, when broadband was able to allow so many people to view so much online, it slowly became the bar that everyone had to surpass. And then once again, if that company was going to go redo their website, they obviously want to beat the one that they just completed. So there's this continual reinvention of the web that comes across. And I think we're finally seeing ads catch up once it comes back to rich media, so that you have video and the ads and things that aren't necessarily content driven, but advertisement driven. And that's when we're finally going to see these places like the newspaper companies and stuff like that are really having a hard time monetizing the ads that they serve up. Once we start actually having the cost per thousand on that and the different placement costs rise up to a level that'll be sustainable for them, my guess is it's probably going to be through luring advertisers in the form of rich media.
When clients make a buy online, do you see them going more conservative with just a strict, you know, simple banner ad, or are they making the jump right away to rich media?
I think it depends on what the budget is for that particular client. If they have a small budget to work with, again, you know, the costs for rich media are quite a bit higher than just a online display ad. So I think you have to take into account the budget that they have to work with and what they're trying to promote or what their message they're trying to get across. So it really just comes down to the agency or the buyer recommending what they think is the best use of their dollars.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of customer or client education that we definitely do it in as far as what we can do, what it's going to cost, how what the best way to portray their brand online is. And that definitely includes this difference between sort of rich and poor media and which one would be better, which would better benefit that campaign.
We're obviously in a recession. Some people say we're slowly climbing out of it. Other people have seen otherwise. So do you see more benefit with clients using rich media during times of economic crisis?
I think simply because everybody is trying to watch every single dollar in their ad budget right now, looking to online in general for that ROI, for the metrics on consumer behavior, for knowing that they didn't just have one brand impression as they would with a billboard, or hoping that they had a brand impression if they had a placement in the magazine, that more and more money is going to be transferred online. And simply because there's more money in online, I think there's going to be more money in rich media.
And that will bring us to the end of episode number 25. If you have questions for any of the panelists here on the show, send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. Audio comments, of course, are always welcome. For Nick, Renee, and Bobby Ann, I'm Lon Keller, and we'll catch you next time on Sundog, the podcast.